So there was a time in history just 60 years ago where Black Americans could not go into a restaurant because they were deemed unclean. Not because they were just Black, because they were deemed unclean. Just 60 years ago, I couldn't go and swim in the swimming pool with you as a white American because they said I was unclean. Right? Not because I was just Black, because something was impure about me. Now they're saying unvaccinated, vaccinated, that means clean and unclean in their terms. Now they're saying you can't go and shop, you can't go out into parks with your family, right? You can't travel. That's about control. This is not about your health. This is not protecting you from a virus. This is not about any of that. This is about controlling you, controlling society, controlling mankind, controlling humanity. I want to challenge every Black American, every Black council person, every Black legislator, every Black pastor, every Black school teacher, every Black parent, every Black pseudo-activist. Are you kidding me? Are you welcoming slavery all over again?
This is racist.
Right.
And no mandate, no law can disqualify me as a human being from coming into your restaurant and having a drink and eating food.
Every organization in America, Black so-called organization in America, should be standing out against this right now. And for a federal judge or a state judge or a local judge to say it's not discriminatory, that is a crime in itself. So what is it going to take to wake you up? That they come and drag you out of your house? That they lock you in your neighborhood? So when you talk about redlining, right? Now they're going to redline us based on our health. I'm a taxpayer, you're a taxpayer, you're a taxpayer. Right? Why are we funding our own homicide?
Kevin, why don't you go ahead and begin by just introducing yourself?
I'm Kevin Jenkins, CEO of Urban Global Health Alliance. Our institution is focused on changing the culture of healthcare in this country through advocacy, public policy, and education. Our single focus is to go into communities and empower them with the power that they already have to readjust their lives and understand why they should take back the power, which is their health.
How did you start to get involved in the issue of childhood vaccination?
Well, last year, there was a big fight in New Jersey. They were attempting to take their religious exemptions away from communities, Black communities around the country. They were giving it to one group in the suburbs and taking it away from the urban community. So that got me involved. I started working with Jamal Holly, Assemblyman Jamal Holly. He came to me to have a deeper conversation about these policies. And I started reading these policies, and I started figuring out, like, wait a minute, I've been in government for years. I've analyzed this kind of information. I just did a piece. I just saved a hospital, St. Michael's Hospital in New Jersey. And I wasn't aware that a government would be working tirelessly to take parents' rights to protect their children, their religious exemptions away from them. I thought that's what America was built on.
Was this in 2019?
20? This was in 2020, actually.
2020?
Yeah, okay. It was about a year and a half ago.
During COVID?
During COVID, mm-hmm. Right before it all started. Right before COVID actually started. Okay. So it was right there on the cusp of it.
Okay. And how did that fight go? And I mean, what have you learned?
Well, New Jersey won the day. But what I found out after traveling all around the country was that this was happening everywhere. This was happening in every state. This was happening in Virginia. It was happening in Colorado. It was happening in Mississippi. I mean, I couldn't believe it that as Americans that we were being told that our religious exemption religious beliefs didn't matter anymore. So that really disturbed me. I was like, no, we have to do something about that. I need to get into this narrative or get into this fight. And when we started Urban Global Health Alliance, it was just to do that, not to get into a fight, but to start working with people all around the country about fighting against that issue at that time. And then it translated into fighting this COVID narrative. And we all know what that has become about.
Yeah. And so how did you first come to look at the COVID narrative? And what were your thoughts when it first was announced that there was this pandemic? And how have you gotten involved, and what do you do?
Well, my first thought was to find out what COVID was. And so I was really blessed to be able to call people around the country to start getting a better idea of what it was. And then after that, I realized that the institution that we were creating was going to probably play a major role all around the country, just not in black communities, but communities all around the country, because we saw there was a huge disconnect about what COVID is, how it's going to impact your body. And we realized that, you know, we needed to do some more work. And that's what we started doing, like really going all around the country, fighting against people getting their medical exemptions taken away from them, and then it translated into this COVID thing. Now, when it translated into the COVID thing, we had to do a lot more work. We had to start finding out and getting more answers, asking more questions. And that's where we find ourselves here now. We've been all over the country talking to people from the heartland to the Midwest to the urban communities all around the country, talking about COVID now has translated into control. Mm. COVID now has translated from, you know, a simple virus to a weaponized virus to a political movement to take all of our freedoms away from us. And that's the thing that I am most concerned about, and that's the thing that we're focusing on. So changing the culture of health now has shifted to changing and protecting our freedoms from the tyranny that we know is alive today, living alive and living well today in this country.
So, as you well know, there's a vaccine passport, so-called, a vaccine mandate has been passed so that people can't go into restaurants without showing a proof of vaccination in the form of a card. Does this have a disproportionate effect on black Americans in New York?
Well, absolutely. I mean, black Americans, here's the really horrible part about this. Black Americans are already a bottom caste. Black Americans don't have an economic infrastructure in place that if we did have restaurants or we did have distribution sites for food or anything, that we can go out and say, listen, we don't need your restaurants. Mm-hmm. So when we go to eat, if you say we can't go to a restaurant, we can't go to a supermarket, now we can't go to the theater, now we can't. The majority of black Americans and poor people in this country are going to be cut out. And this is what this, I think the intention was from the beginning, to, you know, scare everyone, trap them in fear, and go after the people that you really want to go after. Because if we can push them out of the way and take their freedoms away from them, and if they don't fight back, it allows other groups to just say, well, if they're not going to fight back, we're in trouble. Mm. And I think that's changed in the last year.
A judge just ruled that it's not discriminatory. The ruling just came down.
Well, the judge just ruled that it's not discriminatory because that judge obviously is living in a different planet. I mean, discrimination is discrimination. What judge in the world, after all of the laws that have been placed out here from the civil rights movement to now, would say that a slave passport is not discriminatory? Mm. It's the unclean against the clean. They're identifying me as unclean and them as clean. That's racist. Mm. So obviously he must be a racist. At the end of the day, it is about racism. It is about separating people. Segregation is segregation. If you're going to separate based on health status, they did it in Nazi Germany, they did it in South Africa, they did it in this country. Racism is racism. When you see that kind of trickery in language, it scares the hell out of me. You know, segregation is segregation. Bigotry is bigotry. You know, racism is racism. That's what it is. And for a judge to disqualify all of that case law, disqualify all of that and say, oh, it's not discriminatory, is absolutely crazy. So, okay, what about Brown versus Board of Education? I mean, he loses right on that. What about all of the years of discrimination against black Americans in this country? Based on not just their health status, based on their race, based on their economic status. That has no, whoever this judge is, I mean, we need to really go and check him out.
Make the connection between Brown versus Board of Education, Jim Crow. You know,
it was all about, it's all about segregation, yeah. Separating one group from another. Yeah. If it's education, if it's health, if it's where we go to school, mm-hmm. It's the same thing. You don't get the right to rewrite the language of racism and race and what racist means. And this is what's happening. They're trying to now rewrite the language. But just last week, there were discussions about abortion in this country, mm-hmm. about Texas. Right, saying that, oh, you know, by the way, we don't agree with the 6 months, you know, the whole issue of, you know, having late abortions in Texas. Well, they're saying it's discriminatory. They're saying that it's racist. Well, what is this? Mm. This is the same thing. A woman's right to choose is a woman's right to choose. Mm. Okay, so I want a right to choose not to put something in my body. Mm. They should be standing next to us. Because we stand next to them on that issue. Mm. Now, the issue of abortion, right? That is a personal thing that a woman, if she wants to make the decision, that's fine. But guess what? Abortions weren't created to help the black community. It was created to depopulate the black community. Mm-hmm. That's what Margaret Sanger developed it for. That was the eugenics program in the first place. Mm-hmm. So when you talk about the right to choose, I think every person has the right to choose. A woman, a man, a child, all of us. So when did it change? You want to fight for abortion rights and a woman's right to choose. Well, I want to fight against the vaccine narrative, the vaccine mandates, and give me the right to choose. You can't just say, oh, one is better than the other. It's the same thing.
Well, what about people who say the vaccine, you know, is helping protect the community, and that's why it's different?
Well, anybody that says the vaccine that's helping to protect the community doesn't even understand vaccines. The only thing that can help to protect you is if you live a healthy life and you build an immune system. You have a trillion bacteria in your body. Right? So, you know, we have viruses in our body. We have viruses in our body to fight against other viruses. But here's the deal. 99.9% of the people that don't have serious comorbidity issues, right, they recover. And we have therapeutics that have been helping us since the beginning of time. So now they're saying the only thing that works for us, that will protect us, is not what God gave us, but what they're giving us. And now you know the track record of that industry. They've been indemnified. They got the cover of the government to kill us. Now that's mass genocide with the government support.
Now it seems like they're going after everyone. I mean, they've got the rich white folks. They've got everybody. They're trying to get this needle into everybody. What do you think's going on?
It's a mass homicide. It's mass genocide. I always ask people this question when people come to talk to me about it. I'm like, what's in it?
Mm. And do they have an answer?
No.
Yeah.
What's in it? Mm. Let's start right there. Mm. What's in it?
Yeah.
Do you want to take an experimental biologic that you don't know what's in it? Mm. What's in it? Mm. Start right there. Mm. And when you start right there, if they can't answer that question, you know, they have now become a part of the slave class.
What did they say? But Kevin, so many people have died from COVID. I mean,
that's always interesting. I mean, from my perspective, I'm saying, well, prove to me they died from COVID. Mm. Who told you that?
Mm. Well, I see it on the news every night.
Well, that's Big Pharma news. They are paid by Big Pharma.
According to a 2009 study by Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting, with the exception of CBS, every major media outlet in the United States shares at least one board member with at least one drug company. Let me put it in perspective for you. These board members wake up, they go to a meeting at Merck or Pfizer, and then they have their driver take them over to a meeting with NBC to decide what kind of programming that network is going to air. And for those board members who aren't pulling double duty with a media conglomerate in a big drug company, they still understand that they can't be honest and objective about Big Pharma because Big Pharma pays their bills. Drug companies spend about $5 billion a year on advertising with these corporate media outlets. So when Pfizer or Merck or Eli Lilly or any of the drug companies kill or cripple Americans with defective drugs, do you really think these board members are going to allow their story to be told on the air?
Well, what about the CDC, aren't they?
Well, the CDC has had it wrong about black people since the inception of it. The CDC was in business to kill black Americans. Forget about Tuskegee. Look what they did in prisons.
They signed me to a Johnson & Johnson bubble bath test. And I went over there, and if you ever seen the cover of Acres of Skin, they have a guy sitting on the table with patches on his back. Well, they put 6 patches on my back, and it was very toxic. That got into my bloodstream, and it poisoned me. And I'm still suffering from that particular test right now today. The test is at the Army Board in the Pentagon. They built trailers in between the blocks with padded cells in them. And they start experiment with warfare agent chemicals. The first test on LSD was done on the inmates in there. They put them in padded cells. And you got a long list of people suffering from mental problems right now today, going back to when I was in there in 1964.
Look what they did in Los Angeles to kids. I mean, the CDC's number one business is to kill black Americans. Now, I say that and not jokingly, because that's what they've done. They have done some of the most insidious experiments on black Americans in this country since its inception. I don't understand why black Americans or anybody that's listening to the CDC. I mean, I don't understand why any black Americans would listen to World Health Organization. I don't understand why anybody would listen to Fauci after what he's done in this country coming out of the AIDS epidemic in this country.
Yeah.
How he's pushing Remdesivir as opposed to true tested medicine that has been helping people all around the world, like hydrochloroquine. Mm. you know, like ivermectin, like vitamin C, vitamin D. I mean, he's now telling us that it's a crime to even talk about those things.
Yeah, he says, and if you challenge him, you're challenging science, science itself, right?
I guess so.
Yeah. So, can we talk about a little bit about what the history of this whole unclean versus clean thing was in America? Because maybe people don't remember.
Well, there's a period in time in history where, as Black Americans, we were deemed, if you really want to like keep it straight, we were animals. We had no value. Our value was to do what our slave master told us to do and what the government policies were forcing us to do. So there was a time in history just 60 years ago where Black Americans could not go into a restaurant because they were deemed unclean. Not because they were just Black, because they were deemed unclean. Just 60 years ago, I couldn't go and swim in the swimming pool with you as a white American because they said I was unclean. Right? Not because I was just Black, because something was impure about me. Just 60 years ago, I couldn't go to schools that you went to because they said I was not equipped. I was not, we were not smart human beings. There was something wrong with our brains. We couldn't learn the way that you did. We couldn't learn at all, as a matter of fact. We were subpar human beings because they said that we were unclean and we had a mental deficiency. Just 60 years ago, think about it. I couldn't walk down certain streets in New York 60 years ago. I mean, imagine, 60 years ago, I couldn't walk down the streets in New York, certain cities in New York, and certain bars in New York. I mean, so you can't say on one end that this whole thing about police brutality and the racist aspect of that, and don't talk about the racist aspect of a slave passport. The same thing that they used when I went from one slave master's home to another slave master's home. The same thing that they used in South Africa during the apartheid era, that I had to have papers to even walk in the street in the neighborhood that I lived in. I couldn't even have babies in a hospital, right, up the street from my house. My wife couldn't have one, or my mother, I say, couldn't have, I had to be on a certain ward when I was a kid. You couldn't be with the white community because there was something wrong with those babies. They needed to be separated. And so when you look at the chronic illness in our community, the obesity, you know, the autism, right? When you look at all of the chronic autoimmune diseases, all of that's tied to the white coats. All of that is tied to an industry that I dare say has been working to eradicate us from the planet for several decades. I would say a whole century for that matter. So Tuskegee, what's happening in Kenya? What's happening all over Africa? What's happening in Newark, New Jersey? What's happening all over this country? What's happening in New York? It's all creating a new slave system that we need to pay attention to. Now the slavery, the net is not just Black Americans, it's all of us. So that's why we should be unifying against this. That's why right now, at this moment, at this second, if we don't do it, when they put their system in place, it's going to be very difficult to unwind it.
It seems to be narrowing all the time. In the Bible, they talk about the Hebrews were called Egypt the narrow place, right?
And it's getting
narrower and narrower. And as you say, it's entrapping everyone. But once again, it does seem to have a particular emphasis on screwing over Black people.
Well, you have to understand this. The Black body has been the most commoditized, the most profitable body on the planet. We were the backbones of this global economy that you have today. We were the Black backbones of this regional and national economy that we have today. We were traded as commodities. We were traded. Majority of these banks in this country got their wealth on the Black body. So when you have a judge say it's not discriminatory, well, I don't know where this judge comes from. Maybe he was body snatched. I mean, this guy is an absolute idiot. I mean, just to say that it's not discriminatory, like now he's going to rewrite the language of discrimination, rewrite the language of bigotry, rewrite the language of segregation, rewrite Brown versus Board of Education, rewrite Plessy versus Ferguson. All of these, everything that's happened to Black Americans happened to Africans around this world. He said, oh, it doesn't matter anymore because, oh, this vaccine supersedes, you know, our inalienable rights as human beings to be free.
And their own numbers say it's absolute risk reduction, right? It's less, it's 1% or less, right? I mean, in other words, it's just about the same as your chances of recovering without a vaccine. And then, of course, you can spread COVID if you're vaccinated officially, And so there's no reason to segregate on the basis. It's not like the vaccinated don't spread and the unvaccinated do spread. It's like they both spread if you believe in.
Well,
the
you know what we call that from the school I come from. We call that maximum sophisticated confusion. You walk into a restaurant with a mask on, but you can sit and eat with the mask off. Yeah. You have to wear the mask, you know, to walk to the bathroom, but when you get back to the table, you can take the mask off. It's all about shaming us. That's what this is about. It's about shaming us and trapping us in fear. So think about it. I can walk down the street by myself without a mask on, and then I see people wearing a mask in the street by themselves. So what they've done is they've mined whatever. I can't say what I really want to say, but guess what? We're allowing it to happen. So when parents tell me, oh, Kevin, you know, they're making my kids wear masks. I think it's horrible. I said, no, you are. We're giving our freedoms away because we've lost our God courage. We're giving our freedom away because we're not connected to something greater than ourselves. We're giving our freedom away because we don't understand what freedom is. We're giving our freedom away because we always talk about the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. But guess what? That was taken away from us many, many, many years ago because we never stood on the principle of that, which to do what? To protect us from overreaching government. So, you know, Black Americans, think about this. You have Black Americans in the cities all around this country, Black mayors, Black council people, you know, Black leaders, Black church pastors, actually selling the death jab to Black Americans without having a deeper debate, without saying, you know what, we should figure out what this is first. So they closed up their churches and zoomed in Jesus, and now they're opening up their churches to sell the devil's product. That's not a church. That's a religion. That's a cult. That's a religion. Religion is a cult. Faith is not. People that are faithful know that they need to protect their body, protect their children. People that are faithful know that they want to make sure that they have their rights intact so they can live the lives that God gave us the ability to live. So I want to go a little further with this because I want to challenge every Black American, every Black council person, every Black legislator, every Black pastor, every Black school teacher, every Black parent, every Black pseudo activist. Are you kidding me? Are you welcoming slavery all over again? I said, and another thing, just last year we were talking about Juneteenth. Remember the big celebration on Juneteenth? It was fascinating for me because everybody was saying, oh my God, we have this new holiday. I said, what, do you understand what Juneteenth was? Juneteenth was, there was a period of time in Texas where Black Americans didn't know slavery was over. I dare say that Black Americans today don't know slavery is over. They're still on the plantation. Every organization in America, Black so-called organization in America, should be standing out against this right now. And for a federal judge or a state judge or a local judge to say it's not discriminatory, that is a crime in itself. Because it's saying all of our history now is erased. All of that horror is erased. All of that exploitation is erased. Think about that. And for not one Black organization, so-called Black organization, to be standing up against that, it says something really, it's really strange to me.
The millennials, the younger people, seem to be almost the most afraid of this.
Well, that's our fault. That's our fault. We sent our kids to these schools. We never taught them critical thinking at home. We've allowed them to embrace another theology and a religion, which is social media. You know, we did that. We created these kids, and we have to take our kids back. We have to go back into these communities and snatch our kids out of these schools. You know, these particular, let me just give you this. The worst institution in America right now is the education cartel.
Why?
Because the education cartel has our future, our children. And when you destroy the child, you destroy my future. When you destroy the child, you destroy my group.
And how are they doing that? What's the primary?
Well, first of all, forget about the miseducation. Now they're strapping masks. Now they're now teaching our kids things that we would never have allowed them to teach them. Now they're building curriculums around things that are so abnormal that it scares the hell out of me. And we've allowed our kids. We've sent our kids to these top universities and some of these crazy liberal, you know, I call them crazy liberal professors were expounding on things that meant nothing to the world whatsoever. And it started to build this thinking in these kids' minds that, oh, this guy must be right because he's my professor. Never mind going home and learning from your parents and reading all of the great books of our time and trying to teach them to do critical thinking. So the mess we have with our young people is on us. We did it.
And it's the total collapse of the church, not just the Black church, but most
churches collapsed it, as of course the Pope went right along, but we could have expected that. I mean, to me, I can't help but thinking, as a kind of lapsed Catholic, once a Marxist, now finally coming to Jesus again in my own way.
Oh, that was good.
I'm kind of like, you know, I'm just a little surprised. Like, where are the godly people? I mean, and you know, even the nerds on Reddit, when Gates announced back in April 2020, you're going to need some kind of digital certificate to get back to work.
Eventually, what we'll have to have is certificates of who's a recovered person, who's a vaccinated person, because you don't want people moving around the world where you'll have some countries that won't have it under control. Sadly, you don't want to completely block off the ability for those, you know, people to go there and come back and move around. So eventually there will be sort of this digital immunity proof that, you know, will help facilitate the global reopening up.
And they were like, it kind of sounds, I hate to say this, I'm not like a religious person, but it sounds like the number of the beast, that you shall neither buy nor sell, lest you have the mark, right?
Yeah.
I mean, this is the mark, man. I mean, they're having us show the mark. I mean, look, this is a metaphor at least.
Listen.
It seems satanic.
The church of religion is our problem. Faithful people understand this. Because they're connected to something. The cult of religion, we should step away from and walk away from.
I prayed a lot to God during this time. And you know what? God did answer our prayers. He made the smartest men and women, the scientists, the doctors, the researchers, he made them come up with a vaccine. That is from God to us. And we must say, thank you, God. Thank you. And I wear my vaccinated necklace all the time to say, I'm vaccinated. All of you. Yes, I know you're vaccinated. You're the smart ones, but you know there's people out there who aren't listening to God and what God wants. You know this. You know who they are. I need you to be my apostles. I need you to go out and talk about it and say, we owe this to each other. We love each other. Jesus taught us to love one another. And how do you show that love? But to care about each other enough to say, please get vaccinated because I love you. I want you to live.
All of these big churches that are working for the government, all of these big churches that are selling the not a liberating Jesus Christ, but a Jesus Christ. They can sell Jesus Christ any way they want, but Jesus Christ was a radical. He was a zealot. He was against all of this. He was against control. He was against separating people based on their health status. He was about bringing the world together. So all of those churches, to me, unfortunately, should be closed down.
He went among the lepers, didn't he?
Absolutely. But you know, the Bible doesn't mean anything anymore, just like segregation doesn't. You know, it doesn't mean anything. So the Bible doesn't mean anything. Segregation doesn't mean anything. The Torah doesn't mean anything. Because now everybody wants to rewrite the language of those books to fit their narrative, their self-destructive narrative.
When I see 65% of Black New Yorkers haven't gotten, I'm like, well, first of all, I'm like, thank God. I guess I'm thankful for the people I've met, Mexican-American, all kinds of people who are just understood this intuitively, that there was something totally...
Well, I don't think they understood it intuitively at all. I don't think they understood intuitively at all, actually.
No?
No. I think because of their history.
That's what I mean. Okay.
And because of what they're seeing their children go through.
Right.
And what they're seeing, the impact of what's happening with their, you know, through their whole history.
Yeah.
I think they know. And they knew, right, that we need to watch this because we've seen this before.
Right.
We've seen what they did in Guatemala. We've seen what they've done in Kenya. We've seen what they've done in the Congo.
Yeah.
So these people aren't stupid people.
Yeah,
Black
right.
Americans aren't stupid.
Of course.
But now the radical left, that's all they market every day, is that we're stupid. We can't get a license to go and vote.
Yeah.
We can't sign our signature and be verified. Yeah. Or, you know, senior citizens that grew up in the 60s don't know the importance of having an ID to go and vote. It's racist if to even ask someone for an ID to vote.
Yeah.
I mean, are you kidding me? Are you really seriously kidding me? So they are setting up this narrative and we are helping that poor Black people, they just can't get it together. We have to control their bodies.
Right.
We have to control how they make money. We have to control how they educate their children. And that is where they made their mistake.
Why?
Because I'm not going anywhere. There's a lot more me than them. And then the ones that are selling us out, you know, the Black political class, the Black pseudo-intellectual class, the Black entertainment class, all of them, they're going to go to hell for what they're doing to Black people.
Too many Americans certainly want their freedom, just not the responsibility. And it turns out the primary freedom they want is the freedom to be stupid.
The people who are not getting vaccines, who are believing the lies on the internet instead of science, it's time to start shaming them. What else? Or leave them behind.
Basically, every actual religion has told its followers to get thine ass vaccinated.
When did you ever see, when was it logical to ever push a mass vaccine program on people that don't want it? With all of the deaths that are happening right now from it, people are starting to dive down the rabbit hole. The next phase of this is major civil disobedience. Mm. And starting today, at this moment, this second, we're going to be doing a national campaign, a national disobedience campaign across America.
We need to show a COVID ID. Come indoors.
Well, you know that's very discriminatory, right?
Oh, I apologize for making us do it.
No, you're saying it is illegal. All I'm saying to you is, you know, you guys do realize it's discriminatory. And it's racist to stop me from coming into place and let me show my passport.
We would never do that, sir.
I know you don't want to do it, but I'm just saying to you.
I'm a civil rights and constitutional law attorney. It's not the law.
Okay.
It's actually a violation of the law.
Do you believe actually that this is okay, that you should tell me I can't come into your establishment because I'm unclean? So that means 65% of the black Americans in this town could not come here and have a drink or eat in your restaurant. And Mr. Myers should be here to defend himself.
I would like to speak to him.
I want him to defend
this
himself.
This is his opening, correct? This is the opening?
I thought that's what we were coming to do.
So then he should be here, isn't he?
I mean, I want to understand, is he a racist? Does he believe in segregation? Does he believe that in separate but equal, we should be separated from the rest of the world?
So, I appreciate everything that you shared with me, I really do. And
so you're saying, what you're saying is that Mr. Myers believes in racism. Mr. Myers, what you're saying that, you're saying that Mr. Myers is anti-black.
And he believes in segregation.
He believes in segregation. That's what you're saying.
And he believes in violating people's constitutional civil rights.
I am not saying that.
This is racist.
Right.
And no mandate, no law can disqualify me as a human being from coming into your restaurant and having a drink and eating food. That is the same thing that happened in the 1960s when they said, I can't go at the diner. I can't swim in the swimming pool. 60 years ago, they said I was unclean, and you're doing it all over again. And I don't think any owner, any restaurant owner, any business owner should be promoting that because it is not a law.
Am I hopeful? Of course. Because I've seen, you know, I've actually done a real poll of America. I didn't pick up the phone and polled 2,000 people, you know, with a sample. I had a sample of 2,000 and I came out with 500 that says this, right? I actually went across America.
And what are you seeing?
I'm seeing that white Americans and black Americans understand it's about unifying. Mm. It's about coming together. Mm. And guess what? And getting rid of our petty differences, because those petty differences were pushed on us just as much as anything else. Mm. You know, to say that the guy in the heartland is a racist and the guy and the black guy in the cities are criminals. Mm. And that's all manufactured. Mm. We're all fighting the same government. We're all fighting the same people. We're all fighting, you know, to save our lives and to save our children's lives and build a better society. And I think when you say reset, I say rebirth on our side. Because we get to do a new thing. We get to build our own travel. That's why we created Freedom Travel Alliance. We get to build our own way. We grow our own food. We get to grow our own way where we develop our new lifestyle and where we want to live around this country. So if it's not in the cities, it's going to be someplace else.
So is that what is going to be, it's going to take creating parallel structures, parallel economies, just like the Freedom Travel Alliance? Can you explain what that is?
Freedom Travel Alliance was built on this premise that they were going to stop us from traveling. And we wanted to build a company that would allow free thinking people, people that respect freedom, people that respect the right to move freely, the people that respect the right to move freely and engage in commerce by using travel to do that. We wanted to create a new world. So we don't want to go back. We want to divest from that tyranny. Mm-hmm. I mean, anybody that's trying to go back there, you know, God bless them, but we're talking about building the future. Right. This is one of the first times in history in a long time where we can have that rebirth. We can start to think about what faith is now. Mm-hmm. We can start to think about what community should be. Mm-hmm. You know, we can think about now how we work and learn from each other, mm-hmm. how we educate our children. I don't think any parent should want their kid in a public school right now. Mm-hmm. I'm recommending that they take their kids out of public school. And some parents say, how can I do that? Well, what do you want? You want a healthy child or a sick child? Mm-hmm. So you want a child with mental issues or a child that understands life and can embrace life and understand all of the things that we believe is important for them to grow up as effective human beings.
So what's the alternative? What should they be doing? Homeschooling or pooling?
Homeschooling, Looking at how to grow their own food, looking at how to build their own distribution networks, looking at how we communicate with each other moving forward. If your phone cut off right now, what are you going to do?
Yeah, good question.
So we shouldn't be waiting. They already told us what their plan is. Mm-hmm. What's our plan?
Right.
They told us, we're going to take everything from you. Mm-hmm. The government that we fund, the government that we vote for, the government that we form, that says a lot about our character as human beings, that we're not willing to fight back for our freedom. That means we've become lazy and culture corrupt too. And when I'm having conversations, I'm telling people the reason why we're here is because you lost your connection. You lost your God consciousness. When you lose your God consciousness, you lose your ability to see God's face for the right answers. And when you lose your ability to see God's face for the right answers, you lose what? Your God courage to fight. And when you do that, when you lose that, you lose your human, you lose your human, the humanness in you. You lose it. So you're nothing but a byproduct of all the things that they taught you to be. No critical thinking. Don't question anything. Just get up in the morning. Just turn on your TV. Just go into those failing schools. Just allow them to take all of your rights away from you for the last several decades. And then they wanna attack you for loving the American flag. They wanna attack you for standing up for your rights. They wanna say you are un-American if you even dare question their theology. Their theology of death. I'm a taxpayer, you're a taxpayer, you're a taxpayer, right? Why are we funding our own homicide? I mean, I don't need a judge to tell me what's right and wrong. Why are we funding our own homicide? Guess what? Merck is getting our money. Pfizer is getting our money. The schools are getting our money. The government is getting our money. So we are actually participating in our own homicide. But think about this for a second. As intelligent as all of you in this place is, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to see this play. But it's about control.
I know, but people don't see it.
But
Can I
explain that to you?
Yeah.
Let me tell you why. Are you ready for this?
Sure.
Okay. You were chosen to understand it. Your frequency is high enough for you to understand it. You were chosen for this moment. Not everybody was chosen for this. This is your season. What you're doing here in your company and doing this right now, that means that your frequency is high enough. You know that you need to capture this because this is one of the greatest historical moments of our history where our humanity is at, we're at the brink. So when I think of myself, I don't think of myself as someone that just picked up the mantle, and I'm just going to do this because of what my parents taught me. I believe that majority of us in this world, there's a small majority in this world that's going to save humanity. I think we were chosen to do it. It's the war against the conscious and unconscious. So I never worry about what they don't know anymore. You know, I say, well, they're not supposed to know.
I mean, just what surprises me, Kevin, is that people of a pretty high frequency, people that I worked with, because, you know, we're doing a big film on the assassinations, and we're talking about the Kennedys, Martin King, and Malcolm X, and people who were hip to those assassinations, and hip to how the corporate government complex, that whole military industrial complex, national security state, how it controlled the press, how they fed a narrative to people. They knew all that in minute detail, and some big percentage of them, not all of them, but some big percentage of them completely missed this, and they were just like, Tony Fauci, tell me what to do.
No, I don't think that's it. I don't think what you're finding out, a lot of those people that you thought knew something, it was all bull crap. They didn't believe anything. See, the problem with you, I'm teasing you. The problem with you, you give them too much credit. They never were dialed in at all. It was just a sexy thing to do. It's like when you see people walking around with the mask, with the designer outfit and the mask that goes. See, that's mental illness. And see, and what you have done is you've elevated them because you thought they were, you know, against the man. Yeah. No, what they were really doing was trying to buy time to, so when they get to be the man, they could do what they want to do. They should be easily having a different kind of conversation right now. Yeah. See, you know, when it's really interesting. I come from a very beautiful family of people that are always engaged in certain things that they believe in. And, you know, they would never buy this. Like, my mother and father would never buy this. You know, my real teachers, you know, that taught me would never buy this. They would be like, Kevin, there's something fundamentally wrong with this. Because if you go and you look at the arc of history, how could you fundamentally even subscribe to anything like this? So those people were bullcrapping you from day one. I hate to tell you that. Because if they came here right now and you say, I said, well, what's the difference now? Oh, well, wait a minute. But here's another thing. Because I'm gonna have fun with you on this. Right now, nobody's talking about the crime. This is not a natural virus. This is not a natural virus. This is gain and function, right? So it's been tinkered with, and it's been let out into the world. And now the global tyrants who've been working and scenarioing this out for the last 20 years, they now have their greatest opportunity. And what we see as Americans, we've gotten soft in the middle. We don't know what civil liberty is. We don't know what freedom is. We don't know what any of that is, because we are just as bad as the people we're fighting. And now you have a small group of crack troops all around the world that are aware. And they're going to be the ones that save humanity. The rest of those people, they're going to buy into the slave system. And guess what? That's where they deserve to be.
But we have to rescue them somehow, don't we?
No. They have to rescue themselves. I'm not in the business of rescuing people that want to surrender themselves into slavery. The information is there now. And it's not like they can't. Look, if you can get up every Saturday and watch every Sunday and watch football, right? You can turn on a computer and find out what you get ready to put in your body. If you can tell me the audible that Brady is doing, as opposed to finding out what they're doing to your kids in school, and to have black athletes like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Mr. Bonnie Gandhi, Mr. Black Power, he would be the first one to say somebody's racist, saying that if a person, a black human being, a white human being, wants to protect their body sovereignty, should be fired. What? From day one, he was lying to the world. He's a liar. Call him what he is.
Or was he just misinformed?
No. I mean, no. We can't. When you're dealing with life, in your children's life, in the world, you don't get to do that. And then say science. I think what the people are mixing up, real science as opposed to a cult.
Yeah.
This is a cult that's doing this to us. Yeah. People that anybody would want to go say, let me go sit with these other doctors and find out what's going on here. Let me go see what's going on. They're in the business of keeping us sick so they can profit. CDC is one of the largest vaccine corporations in the world. The World Health Organization is ran by a genocidal maniac.
That's right, yeah. Tell
okay, and the man killed his own people. What are we talking about here? What are we talking about? Fauci is Mengele on steroids. What are we talking? I mean, you have to put one of the things I like to do now when I'm talking to people, give it to them straight. I can have an intellectual conversation with you all day, but people need plain English now. They need some plain English.
Yeah.
Now, this is what this is about. The same people that came over here during the 1930s to study eugenics and work with Margaret Sanger, right, to what? Depopulate this country of black Americans. They said we were unclean. It's still in play. She must be dancing in hell. She must be the happiest person on earth. Hitler said, I bet you Hitler is saying, my God. I mean, they're continuing our work. We did something right. Now, some people at home that have taken an experimental biologic, they're not themselves. They know something is wrong with their bodies. They know that they made a mistake. And I'm going to pray for them and hope that they get better. But, you know, they did something that they should have never done to themselves. Because if you have a strong immune system, if God gave you your immune system to fight these diseases, and over the last several decades of your life, you never took care of your body, and now you think that this one experimental biologic is going to resolve that issue, well, something is wrong with you at a number of levels. So, I mean, think about that, at a number of levels. So you are morbidly obese. You have heart disease, you have kidney disease, you have autoimmune disease, you have childhood obesity disease, you have autism, you have mental illness, and you just think that's just miraculously happened. That happened because of our relationship with the white coats. We turned our bodies back over to them. You see? So I'm not the one that will sit here and try to create this global narrative about, well, no, we've done it to ourselves. And it's time to correct what we have done to ourselves. And the black community and the white community and every community around this world. We bought their program, now they're unleashing it on us. And we need to understand that you don't have any options here. You have to fight for your body autonomy. You have to fight for your right to breathe. You have to fight for your right to control your life. This country is getting ready to go through something that they have never seen before in their lives, because this generation never had to fight for anything. That's why they're surrendering. They never had to fight for anything. They come home to mommy and daddy, they complain their mommy and daddy give it to them. They got the family, the black family, we say, okay, we don't need the black man in our communities anymore. We bought that, we did that to ourselves. So who are we blaming? I'm blaming you because you're a white person? No, don't worry about the barbarians outside the gate. Worry about the barbarians inside the gate that look like me. That's wholesaling this garbage. That's wholesaling death. That are working on a daily basis for the oligarchs that are trying to enslave us again. Let's look at those people. Look at those black Americans that are now wholesaling the body of the black American all over again. That's what we need to worry about. And why are we continuing to talk about something that happened in 1800s and racism where we're not reflecting what this is now? This is racist. This is bigotry. This is segregation. This is destruction of the black race. Now the destruction of the world. And you can't see that? So you want to get up in the morning and go to your bank account tomorrow morning, and when China's credit score comes over here, what, and they take your money because you weren't a good boy, what you going to do? Because they're doing it with your jobs now. So what is it going to take to wake you up? That they come and drag you out of your house? That they lock you in your neighborhood? So when you talk about redlining, right? Now they're going to redline us based on our health. Now they're going to do another credit score. It's not about if you pay your bills on time, but if you're a good human being, if you're listening and you're following what we're saying.
And you take the booster and the booster and the booster or whatever.
Yeah, and you're going to be dead.
Yeah.
You won't even be a human being anymore.
Right.
And guess whose fault that is? That individual's fault. So the only representative we have is ourselves. And believe me, that saved this country before. Remember that we saved this country before several times when we stood up against the tyranny of that time. Now, this is our season. This is the tyranny of our time. So the question is, what kind of monuments are going to be left for you and I? A monument of victory, right? Or a monument of failure and fear, where we're trapped in perpetual slavery for the rest of our lives? Oh, you know, this year is going to be a very, very exciting year. And I think the more people are losing their jobs now, they get it even more.
These are New York City workers protesting the vaccine mandate. Now, remember, these are, among them, thousands of essential workers, you know, city workers that needed to be here when everyone else was in lockdown.
This is not about your health. This is not protecting you from a virus. This is not about any of that. This is about controlling you. Controlling society, controlling mankind, controlling humanity. So we have to find our God courage, and we all have to unite together. Because if not, our children will live a lifetime of bondage. So if you don't want to do that for yourself, do it for your children.